Hallelujah! This song sings of the Jubilee. Our focus this weekend of this conference, the general subject is proclaiming the Jubilee. And we've been enjoying all weekend seeing that we are not just hearing about something in the past, but today we are in the age of the Jubilee. This is a Jubilee that we can live and a Jubilee that we can proclaim. So I just want to follow the fellowship on being a fellow worker of the truth. Many of you gave many dollars for the Lord's move in Europe and especially to Germany over these last few years. If you had followed your dollars to Germany, you would have heard this song being sung in Arabic and in Farsi. Many of the ones, some actually freed from literal captivity in jail, when they arrived and were in the meetings with the saints, they were experiencing a real Jubilee. Amen. Singing this chorus over and over and over again. Amen. Glorious freedom! Amen. Wonderful freedom! Amen. This was their reality. Physically transplanted out of captivity. Out of a place where you could not say the name of the Lord Jesus to a place where they could enjoy this wonderful emancipator. So this song is so dear to me because of seeing these ones and hearing these ones sing over and over again. We want to see the Jubilee, and maybe we'll just recap this briefly, is a principle introduced by our dear God in Leviticus 25. And it's a continuation of this matter of the Sabbath, which is a matter of rest. Every 7 years, there was to be a rest upon the land. And every seven sets of seven, at 49, we saw in the seventh month, the 10th day, there was a sounding of a ram's horn, a sounding of a silver trumpet. And when the people of Israel were to hear that trumpet, they would release, recognize the Jubilee is about to come. Amen. Here comes the 50th year. Amen. This was a time when you maybe had lost your possessions, lost your God-allotted portion of the land. Maybe even further, through your circumstance, you'd sold yourself into slavery. All of that in the Jubilee, your possession was restored to you. Out of slavery, out of captivity, you were released. This was the meaning of the Jubilee in the Old Testament. So it's so significant then in Luke 4, the Lord Jesus came and he turned and he found this portion and he just read it. I will read it to you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to announce the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives. Amen. And recovery of sight to the blind. Amen. To send away and release those who are oppressed. Amen. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. The year of the Jubilee. Amen. And the eyes of everyone were fixed on him. Because they had heard of this. But they had never, they had never seen the reality of this. And a couple verses later, he said, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Amen. So many had been considering this idea. Maybe some had actually hoped, when is the Jubilee coming? But now, in the Lord's presence, he said, this Jubilee is here. Amen. We sang this hymn over and over, the Jubilee has come. And one brother kept mouthing to me, we need to sing, the Jubilee is here. Amen. The Lord Jesus has come. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We can enjoy this wonderful Jubilee. Amen. There's a blessing. There's many blessings in the Jubilee. The first blessing, actually the base of all the blessings, is that our sins are forgiven. This is the base. We sinners can enjoy something that is a portion of God. Amen. God as our possession. God's been restored back to us. How? Through this gift of forgiveness. Through this space, then, we receive not just God as our possession, but we also are released from slavery. Amen. We're released from so many types of bondage. Amen. We saw last night the bondage to just be a good person. I have three little boys. I'm always telling them, don't do this, do this. Don't do this, do this. One night this week, my middle one just started crying. Dad, you said I can't do this here. You can't do this here. You can't do this here. When can I do it? 6 years old, already under a bondage to be a good person. Right? This is just like us. Actually, the more years we've lived, the more bondage we're under. Anyway, check with the older saints. They're nodding their heads. That's right. So we're free from this bondage. And even more, I have a little burden in this message. We're brought back to our divine family. Amen. We're brought back to the church life. Amen. And there's some here, maybe this morning, you've come to the Lord, but maybe you have not come to your divine family. Pray during this meeting, during this conference, you would see the blessing of the Jubilee is to come back to the church as your family. And as we enjoy these blessings, as we live in the Jubilee, then we'll come to today's, this morning's message, which is the propagation of the Jubilee. So let's actually turn to outline four and read the title of this message together. Proclaiming the Gospel for the Propagation of Christ as the Jubilee. This message, we'll see, is really an opening of the experience of our dear brother Paul. And we'll see these verses in Acts show us his testimony and show us the testimony of the disciples. But let's actually jump to 3N. It's Acts 26:18, near the bottom of the page. And this was his testimony before King Agrippa, right after he was saved. The Saul of Tarsus. This was the verse then he spoke. This was the verse of his witness. And let's read this together. Acts 26:18. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the authority of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. So Romans 1 says, and these are just the Apostle Paul's words, we need to be today's ministers and witnesses. He said, I'm here. I'm a minister. A minister is someone who does the work of the Lord. And a witness. A witness is someone who just testifies of what they've seen. Many people love to go watch sports live because then they've witnessed it as it happened. Well, forget about sports. We're the witnesses of our Lord Jesus. Amen. We're the witnesses of Him as the Jubilee. Amen. This was Paul's testimony. I have lived the Lord Jesus, and now I'm here proclaiming the Lord Jesus. Amen. This is our burden this morning. We all have the Lord living in us. Even more, our proclaiming of Him needs to sound out. So we live Him and proclaim Him as the gospel. And more, we need to see the Lord Jesus is the gospel and the Lord Jesus is the Jubilee. Amen. Christ Jesus is the Jubilee of grace. Amen. When He came, that was not just historical saying the Scripture is fulfilled. He was saying, I have come as the Jubilee. Amen. I am the Jubilee. Amen. And this is for the accomplishing of God's eternal economy. Amen. His desire from the beginning. God's design. I enjoyed this phrase this morning. We drank a cup of God's design. Amen. Redemption was part of God's design. Our sins being forgiven was to open us for Christ to be our life. Amen. What a design for Him to be the Jubilee. Amen. So this is the one we enjoy. This is the one we live, and we want to see. This is the one that we propagate. Amen. Propagate, depending on who you ask, has a lot of meanings. The biologist will say, well, take a grain of wheat, or maybe take a dandelion and blow that dandelion and watch those little seeds propagate. That's a meaning of propagate. It's a biological meaning. Some of the physics folks here, some of the computer scientists will talk about waves, and waves can amplify and propagate. And then we can also see some of the humanities folks will talk about an idea. And if you speak an idea and get it into enough heads, it can propagate. Forget about all that. We want to propagate Christ. We want to propagate this Jubilee. This one who has come into our heart and of whom we are witnesses, we want to testify him. Amen. We all, and I appreciate this, the moment you are saved, you are qualified to be a witness of the Jubilee. Amen. Every saved believer is a witness of the Jubilee. Amen. This is such a good reality. And a brother, I just appreciate, what can we do? How can we help new believers? The moment you're saved, bring them to tell someone about this Jubilee. Amen. Help them to speak and proclaim what has just occurred within them. This is the number way for this Jubilee to sound out. So Romans 2, let's read this all together. To enjoy and propagate the resurrected Christ as the Jubilee, to enjoy and propagate him as our possession, our God-given portion, and as the one who is able to set us free from the slavery of sin, for us to be returned to the church as our divine family. So the verses there are so good. We read already from Leviticus and from Luke, and we see in Colossians 1, we give thanks to our Father. He's qualified us for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light. He's the one who's delivered us out of the authority of darkness. Amen. Hallelujah. What a father. I just appreciate when we come to the table meeting, we thank him as our source, as the one who designed that we would not be stuck in slavery. We could be released to him as our possession. Amen. We could be released to the church as our family. Amen. And we see this is also very much related in John 8 to the Word. We need to know the Word. The truth shall set you free. And then it says, the Son shall set you free. So we need to help others, even to speak the Word. And I appreciate sometimes when we go out and preach the gospel, we may meet someone, and maybe their background was in a certain kind of a way where a little bit of the Word was introduced to them. Well, that is an opening in their being for the Spirit to speak into the Word in them. We always need to speak faith into others. But sometimes there's something passive there waiting to be activated. We don't even know that when we speak a verse from the Bible, faith is ignited within them. We've met this many times, even, believe it or not, downtown Berkeley. There's a man walking down the street. He was just raised in a certain kind of a way with a certain kind of education that he was forced to memorize the Word. And so when we began to speak the Word to him, deep spoke unto deep. The Spirit in his spirit witnessed that he was a child of God. Amen. And he prayed and received the Lord. Amen. This can be the testimony of every man. This is the heart of our Savior God. To bring every man into a Jubilee. Amen. And then finally, I want to bring up this matter, the church as our divine family. And for this, I just want to bring us back to actually a wonderful gospel message shared about 59 years ago by our dear brother Lee. And it's from this little book, Christ Being the Burden of the Gospel. I think also in the collected works of brother Lee, you can go find it. But he tells a story of a sister who would come to Brother Lee and say, my husband always comes home late, and this is a big trouble to me. I don't know what to do. What should I do? And Brother Lee is listening to this, and his sense, he's very wise in his answer. He said, check with the Lord. What does He want you to do? First, he asked, are you saved? She said, I'm saved. I said, okay, check with the Lord. What does He want you to do? She thought about it, went away, and she came back. Okay, does that mean I should pray? Brother Lee said, yeah. Check with the Lord. He's living in you. You're His house. He cares about you. It matters to Him, this situation. Go ask Him. And he said, actually, how you pray doesn't matter. Go and ask Him. And I want to make sure I have the utterance right. So he says, do you know that the Jubilee... He said, do you know that the Lord Jesus lives in you? I put the phrase here. Do you know that the Jubilee lives in you? Amen. This is what he was asking her. Christ Jesus, who is living in you, has the best way. Amen. Doesn't this sound like us? We have some situations sometimes. Lord, I'm not happy with this situation. Maybe even our own household. Maybe our relationship with our spouse. Or a relationship with our children or a roommate. Lord, is it always going to be like this? Is this how it is? Well, Christ Jesus, who is living in you, has the best way.
Amen.
I just appreciate this fellowship. There is one dwelling in you. He will surely take care of you.
Amen.
This is the gospel message our brother is speaking. Pray to the Lord. Pray to the one who is dwelling in you. It's His business, and it matters to Him. So then she had a sense. I want to have a wonderful discussion with the Lord. Not with my husband. Wonderful discussion with the Lord. And this discussion she just had with the Lord, she had a sense, I need to make my husband some tea. And I need to prepare him some snacks. And I need to joyfully wait for him to come home, no matter how late he returns. This was her testimony. I'm just reading it from... Even this word joyfully is there. Maybe before she used to... when are you coming home tonight, right? But she had a sense within, I need to joyfully wait for him. And as she's having this discussion with the Lord, it goes on. The Lord says even more, you need to listen for his footsteps. When your husband comes, listen for them. Open the door and go to greet him. Invite him in. And then serve him tea and serve him snacks. The sister said, Lord, I can't do this. It's too much. Lord, it's very difficult for me to submit to him in this. This was her attitude. She realized, Lord, I can't. But there was a sense within her, continue this discussion with the Lord. So she went back and just began to discuss more. The same sense came. And so she knelt down. And the tears just began to flow. Lord Jesus, you are my Savior. I'm willing to give you the ground. It's no longer I who live, but you who live in me.
Amen.
And the tears ceased. And she began to smile. And cheerfully she made tea. Cheerfully she prepared the snacks. And when she heard her husband come, she went and she opened the door. And now we hear the husband's perspective. He said, I thought I was in a dream. What happened? From that day, the situation began to change. What a wonderful story of the work of the Jubilee of Christ.
Amen.
And I'm just so touched by this story. As I read it, I realized all of us need this kind of Jubilee in our household.
Amen.
Doesn't matter the composition of your household. In Psalm 68, it says, even the solitary will be released into a household. Even those who are alone will be released into a household. Every prisoner will be released into prosperity. So many situations. The gospel in Romans 1:15, it's preached, we see, to the believers in Rome. So on the one hand, we have a burden for the Jubilee to sound out far. But this morning, I'm full of burden. The Jubilee would sound out near. What about our own households? What about our living situations? Bring Jubilee to our homes.
Amen.
Bring Jubilee to our home meetings.
Amen.
Even this utterance, cause us to have Jubilee churches.
Amen.
We don't want long faces. We want release.
Amen.
We want sight.
Amen.
Turning from sins to righteousness.
Amen.
From being bound by an illegal master.
Amen.
To living under the authority of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
This is his heart and this is our heart.
Amen.
This is the Jubilee we need to proclaim.
Amen.
So I'm burdened, even my own home. When saints come, what will they see from me? Will there be a Jubilee Paul? Or a hallelujah! Release the Jubilee.
Amen.
I'm burdened before my own children. Will they hear the groans or the calling? The way to stir ourselves up.
Amen.
The way to activate our spirit.
Amen.
The way to breathe him in.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Saints, let's recover the calling in our homes.
Amen.
The calling in our daily lives.
Amen.
The deep breathing of his name.
Amen.
Lord, come in as the Jubilee.
Amen.
Come into my situation.
Amen.
We'll see now in the book of Acts, this is in Roman numeral 3. The situation of the apostles there wasn't so good. But they were full of enjoyment. And they were full of propagating the resurrected Christ as the Jubilee of grace. They spread the gospel and they practiced the church life. And so there's a lot of verses here. We can't go through all of them. But how about 3a? Let's read that together. You shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And the brothers have helped us to see this in Acts 1:8 is for all of us. You can replace Jerusalem with your personal situation. And Judea is a little further, but you're still involved. And Samaria, you're still involved. That might be your workplace or your campus. Or your play date, if you're a mom, or where you spend your time in your daily life, and even the uttermost parts of the earth. It's good every year for the saints to travel to blend. What about planning in your vacation? Last year, we went to that isolated island. This year, let's go to this wonderful place with the saints. Let's spend some time in the Jubilee with the saints in that place. Hallelujah for the Jubilee.
Amen.
This is all of our portion.
Amen.
And so day by day, we can practice the Jubilee. Peter stood up in Acts 2 and he spoke. And right away, they partook of their food with exultation. There was a joyful eating. Sometimes we come together on Friday night, and it's all we can do to drag ourselves there. It's not so much exultation as we partake of our food. But with the saints. And this is not a performance. This is as we're opening to him in the mornings. As our brother said, he wants the Jubilee to come between our morning revival and our nighttime. What about during the day? More Jubilee.
Amen.
Then when we see the saints, there's just an overflow.
Amen.
There's a spontaneous exaltation. Then I'd like to go to see with great power. The apostles gave testimony of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And as I was reading this, I was really touched. In Acts 4, there's a phrase here. It talks about the boldness of Peter and John. And this word bold comes from a Greek word paresia, and it means confidence, fearlessness. And even more, I thought this was very interesting. It means freedom of speech. So we're, of course, we're in the land of the free. People want to go to the free speech area and say things. Not that kind of free speech. The freedom that comes from being a witness.
Amen.
We've seen this Christ and we want to testify Him.
Amen.
We cannot but help speak the words of this life.
Amen.
This was Peter and John in Acts 4. Someone said, no, you better not. And they said, we're not sure if we can listen to you because there's a life in us that's proclaiming this. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.
Amen.
Ask the Lord, Lord, open my eyes.
Amen.
I don't just want a little bit of light. I want to be crystal clear of what you're doing on this earth.
Amen.
I want to be crystal clear that the Jubilee is mine.
Amen.
Take, we'll see, Acts 26:18. Take this and turn it into our prayer.
Amen.
Pray it until that prayer is crystal clear in our being. The reality of the Jubilee that's been accomplished for us. And so then they had the way in Acts 4:29. Grant your slaves to speak your word with all boldness. And two verses later, they began to speak the word with all boldness. This is where the great power and the great grace came from. So I just appreciate in our church life, what if we recover this? What about the freedom of speech to dispense Christ to one another?
Amen.
Sometimes we're a little bit obligated. Oh, how was your week? Oh, how was that exam? And already we've brought someone who wanted to be in Jubilee, brought them back into the slavery they were in all week. Right? I do that all the time. Oh, tell me a little bit more about your slavery. Forget about their slavery. Bring them into the Jubilee. Bring us into this wonderful grace.
Amen.
This was the labor. This was the work of the apostles. And so we go on. We see in, this is a day by day in the temple and from house to house. That verse we enjoy a lot. They did not cease teaching and announcing the gospel of Jesus as the Christ. Right before that, they were getting beat. Right after that, they can't help teach and announce. This is the Jubilee. And of course we say, well, that was the apostles. They were really filled economically. I'm not sure I could take a beating and then go announce the gospel. But in reality, sometimes our coworkers come and they beat us up with their words. What did you do last weekend? Let me tell you about this. Let me tell you about that. That's a beating, psychological beating. I was just in the Jubilee all weekend. Well, Brother Lee says, the best way to enjoy the experience of the prodigal son putting on the sandals is to bring the gospel into that situation.
Amen.
Said, oh, you may have done that, but that probably will not satisfy you. Let me tell you about the one who set me free this weekend.
Amen.
Use those situations to put on our gospel shoes to proclaim the Jubilee.
Amen.
Hallelujah for this experience of the apostles that can be our experience today.
Amen.
And then we go on. I'm running a little short on time, but we can see there was much scattering. There was much persecuting. Saul was going around devastating the church. But right after that, in Samaria, there was much joy in that city because they were in the reality of the Jubilee. Then we go on. We see, again, this word boldness comes up. And this is in Acts 9. This is right after Saul has been saved. He's seen the Lord. His eyes have been opened. And he's going around and he's proclaiming in the name of the Lord Jesus. And remember what he was doing just right before that? Anybody who called on the name, he was binding and bringing them to be judged. So there was a lot of fear there. But in this experience, again, Saul is boldly proclaiming Jesus in the synagogue. And in Acts 9:22, he was more empowered because he had seen something. He couldn't help but speak this. And in Acts 9:27, even Barnabas came and said, "In Damascus, we saw him speaking boldly in the name of Jesus." Freedom of speech. Freedom to proclaim the Christ that we've seen. And he testifies, "In Jerusalem, in and out, we saw this Saul proclaiming, speaking boldly." So saints, come forward with boldness.
Amen.
Have this burden, we'd be released in our speaking.
Amen.
We would turn from being bound to being released.
Amen.
I'll even tell you, I was out walking among the trees. I was sure there was no one around. And I felt bound by the trees. I was worried about making too much noise to the trees. Really, this is the type of bondage that there is. But Christ has released us.
Amen.
His redemption has conquered death.
Amen.
Released us from an illicit master.
Amen.
We should have the freedom to proclaim the Jubilee.
Amen.
Sometimes this is shouting.
Amen.
Sometimes this is just speaking.
Amen.
But the reality is we are in our spirit.
Amen.
In our spirit is the Jubilee.
Amen.
And so we come. We'll see in this portion, and our brother will continue, even in the Philippian jail. We're so familiar with this story, Paul and Silas, but they are released. The Philippian jailer in this earthquake is terrified, but he comes and he finds just Paul and Silas around midnight singing hymns, enjoying that Philippian jail, just in the Jubilee. Actually, their physical situation, you might say, was still in bondage. And that may happen. The Jubilee is not a promise that you're going to get extricated out of your hard situation. The Jubilee is a reality that's inside. In spite of your situation, you will be full of joy. You will have God as your possession. And even enjoy the church as your family. And so, I've enjoyed this verse since I was a high schooler in Acts 17. It talks about these men. Paul and Silas are going around. Actually, they're just speaking. And it so upsets the jealousy of some of the religious folks. These men who have upset the world have come here also. They're almost complaining. That's no fair. Their speaking upsets the world. That's what should happen. Our speaking should cause people's equilibrium to be shaken. Even a brother, Brother Lee said, we need to bother people with the gospel. What about that? Right in the elevator, someone says something. And you just mentioned, I appreciate one of the brothers, he's faithfully at work just to say little things like, the Lord Jesus loves you. That bothers people, right? How come you're imposing your Lord Jesus on me? But then they go in private. Lord Jesus, what did he mean by that? Right? That's the beginning of the coming to the senses. That's the beginning of the Jubilee right there. So saints, we need to be faithful to proclaim this Jubilee. And eventually then we'll see, and our brother will continue in Acts 26. What a testimony, what a promise of all the blessings that come from being in this Jubilee.
So our brother has shared very well, and all through this weekend, we have been sharing the matter of the Jubilee. I don't know if you noticed, but if you look at even the titles of all the messages, there's one a distinctive word there. Didn't know if it stands out. That's the word "the." It's the Jubilee. There's no other exhilaration. There's no other freedom. There is the Jubilee.
Amen.
That is God's provision for all his people.
Amen.
God wants that for you, and God wants that for me, and that God wants that for your spouse, and God wants that for your children, and God wants that for your neighbors, and God wants that for every human being.
Amen.
There is no human being that is not intended
right.
to have the Jubilee.
Right.
to be set free. So you can have the assurance, regardless of how people react, regardless of how long you've known them, regardless of how much bad treatment or even good treatment you've received in the past, that human being has a deep-seated, desperate need to be set free. We need them, and they need to know this. And the only person who can tell them is you. Right? You have been planted there sovereignly by the Lord. I can't be there. Gary Kaiser can't be there. But you're there. God put you where you are. And he needs you to open your mouth and proclaim the good news. The good news is God has made a provision to set you free. Right? You can be and join all that God intended for you. Okay, now we have this wonderful passage, and most of the rest of the message is on that, but I will add a few words to give some practical application, which is kind of implied in the last section. So this is a wonderful thing that the Apostle Paul was sharing when he was there with King Agrippa, recounting what happened to him. And he said, at midday, he saw light from heaven beyond the brightness of the sun. And then he said he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And I said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus." Amen. We all need to say, "Oh, we love Jesus." Amen. Jesus, whom you persecute. But rise up and stand on your feet. The ministry portion says, it's very interesting, the Lord many times will knock you down, and then after he knocks you down, he asks you to rise up. Sometimes we just don't get it the first time, so he needs to knock us down a little bit. But don't worry, then he asks you to get up. He asks us to get up, and then he says, rise up, for I've appeared to you for this purpose. The Lord is an appearing God. Contrary to what all the worldly people think, and contrary to what we occasionally think, God is a God who appears to man. God wants to appear to you. In this very meeting, God is appearing to each one of us. God is an appearing God. He manifests himself to man. He used to be hidden in ages past, but now he is no longer hidden. God is here today. Amen. The Lord is here, and he was appearing to us. He's appearing to you. Wherever your situation is, whether you're old or you're young, if you're a junior high or you're elderly, he is here today. And he's appearing to you to call you. Oh, to call you to come to him. So he says, I am one to appoint you, as a minister and a witness. As our brother shared, a minister is someone who's preaching, speaking. And many times those of us who've been involved in the gospel in the past, we kind of gear ourselves up. Gospel time again. Oh, well. Try to get ourselves, you know, ready. Okay, I'll do it. But actually, what the rest of the verse says, a minister and a witness of the things in which you have seen me. We need to see the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord is in our spirit.
Amen.
If you turn to your spirit, you should see the Lord.
Amen.
When you see the Lord, you can't help speak what you see.
Amen.
Then you are not only a minister, you are a witness.
Amen.
I have a bad story about myself about this. A few years ago, our children were younger, and we went to Disneyland. And they had this light show in the evening, lasers and all kinds of things they showed. Oh, it was really pretty spectacular. So I went back and I was speaking to one of the father of one of my kids' friends, And I was describing this and describing that. Oh, how good it was, how interesting it was, how well it was done. And as I walked away, the Lord said, well, you were pretty good at explaining everything and being enthusiastic about the Disney light show. Why can't you share that about me? Aren't I better than a Disney light show? Oh, boy, was I ever feeling low. So there are too many things that can stir us up. But the most thing is the most precious thing that the Father God has given us. That's the Lord Jesus Christ as our Jubilee. So then the Lord said, I'm going to deliver you from all the people, so don't worry about the other people. The Lord's going to deliver you. And then to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the authority of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who've been sanctified by faith in me. Okay, now I'm going to try a little experiment. Only a minute. I just ask your cooperation. If you don't want to do it, it's okay. I'm going to ask you to do the following. I want you right now to close your eyes. I want you right now to close your eyes. If you're too scared, you don't have to do it. Okay. Now, when you're with your eyes closed, forgive me, what do you see? Mainly, you see darkness. When your eyes are closed, you don't see everything that's going on. You may hear me, but you don't see me. Actually, also, you don't even see the person next to you. It might be your husband or wife. It might be a child. It might be one of the dear brothers and sisters in the church. But you don't see them. Your eyes are closed. You are trapped in the darkness, in the prison of the self. You're trapped in darkness. Okay, now you can open your eyes. When you open your eyes, now you see the light. Now you're seeing light. You're seeing brothers and sisters. You're seeing God's household. You've been brought out of darkness into light. You're broken through. You're out of your darkness. The darkness of self, the darkness of the world, the darkness of all the things that entrap us day by day. Amen. And if you'll forgive me, the darkness of your own goodness. Amen. You're delivered from that to in the light. Amen. In the light you see light. Amen. In Psalm 36. In the light you see Him. Amen. In the light you see the brothers and sisters, your divine family. Amen. You've been brought out of darkness into light. You've been brought out of the authority of Satan into the authority of God. The authority of God is to set you free, to bring you into the kingdom of the Son of His love. God wants you to be out of Satan's kingdom and into His kingdom. Not a harsh kingdom. Not a kingdom that is forcing you to do many things, but a kingdom that liberates you. A kingdom that makes you free. Amen. Into the Son of His love. Amen. This is a kingdom of love and light and freedom and salvation. Amen. And that's where God wants us to be. Amen. Right? So when we open people's eyes, this is for them. They can be brought out of that darkness. You experienced it only for 45 seconds. But they're permanently in darkness until you share the real light. When you share it, they are set free. And you can be the one that sets them free. Wonderful. Then it says furthermore, from the authority of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. What a great thing this is. Never discount this. The precious blood of Christ has released us, freed us, given us the freedom from sin. Every sin you've ever committed, you are set free. You're set free. This is something to be jubilant about. to rejoice in the freedom of the forgiveness of sins. And now you have an inheritance, a portion, an allotment. You have an portion of Christ. And Christ is so big that what I have does not take away from what Brother Chuck has. What I have does not take away from what David Chewy has. There's so much Christ, and he's so big. He's bigger than the state of California. He's bigger than the planet Earth. He's bigger than the universe. Christ is unlimited. Don't be afraid of the Christ you enjoy taking from someone else. You're not. In fact, we like to hear your portion in the meetings and in the fellowship, because that will be enriching me and my portion. Oh, we want to hear from you and your portion. Amen. You enrich my portion. Amen. My portion enriches your portion. Amen. We want everybody to enjoy Christ as their portion. Amen. So this is a wonderful thing. We are sanctified by faith in him. And then Paul said a very telling word. He said, "Oh, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." Oh, we need to see the vision. Brothers and sisters, this vision, you'll see in the ministry portion. Many people who are good, they're good, they're ethical, they're proper, they're moral, and I'm sorry to say many of us fall into that in some of our living. They're very good, but they're opaque. You know what opaque means? It means you can't see through it. So the trouble is, sometimes we are not transparent. And my dear brother Paul just shared, he was telling me, you know, you've got all kinds of variations between opaque. You can have something that's translucent, sort of something comes through, but it's kind of hard to see. There's many variations, but we want to be transparent. That means nothing between. You just see Christ. So we need to be ones, and that means we need to escape some things. We need to escape a lot of our natural living. So I'm going to pick up from our brother's sharing in just a minute, but I want to just make a further point here that we need to pray over this verse. We need to have the Lord touch us first. When we want to preach the gospel, I know many of us know how to preach the gospel. We trained years ago. We just got the mystery of human life, and we were trained to use it. But we want to go to a further level, in Northern California this year. This is the year of Jubilee. Amen. We're proclaiming the year of Jubilee. Amen. This is the time for us to be at another level. A level of being transparently filled with Christ. Amen. Of you being so happy, so ecstatic, so released, so enjoying, you can't help but tell people. Amen. You can't help it. Amen. Christ is so enjoyable. Amen. Christ set me free. Amen. I'm no longer bound. Amen. I'm no longer captive. Amen. I enjoy Jesus Christ. Amen. He's my Savior. Amen. When we do this, we have something they don't have. Believe me, they don't have it. Sorry to say, even they're Christians, they don't have it. We have something wonderful. Amen. You have the most wonderful thing. And I'm here to tell you, this year, God is going to set you free. God is going to set everybody here free. Though you can't help but bubble over with a good matter. Okay, so we have to realize this. Then we need to do, it's in section 7. I will just kind of go through it quickly because I want to give a couple applications. So we say we have to come to the Lord and pray. Lord, open my eyes. Actually, let's read this prayer together. Lord, open my eyes. I don't need knowledge, Lord. I need my eyes to be open. Lord, turn me from anything dark. I don't want to remain in darkness. Lord, turn me from darkness to light. So we want to be in the spiritual reality. So let's go to the part B, the prayer part. Lord, turn me from the authority, the dominion of Satan to yourself. I must be a person who is absolutely in God. God is my sphere, my realm, my kingdom. I must be in God. Yeah. So you will become another person. So this is not just another, hopefully, good conference message with a good recommendation for how to go on and be a good Christian. We're a little concerned, some of us brothers, that we have just a whole room full of people, including me and the other brothers, all of us. We really are good people. We're really good people. We don't sin that much. We don't rob banks. We treat our families reasonably well. We try to, and as many of us, we've been in the church life a while. We come to the meetings. If the meeting is dead and boring, we still come to the meeting. We appreciate when the young people bubble up because that brings at least a little life. We're there, we'll clean the restroom. We'll do it. We're there. We support what the church is doing. We'll give our money. And we're dead. We're naturally good. The church life is being suffocated by so much natural goodness that the Spirit doesn't get through. Amen. We need the Spirit released. Amen. We don't need a good man. We need a God man. Amen. And it begins with us. It begins with you and it begins with me. Amen. I need to be released. Amen. I need to be free. Amen. Lord, make me free. I want to be in the Jubilee. I want to be a Jubilee person. And the next thing I'd like to recommend, and again, this is in fellowship with my dear brother Paul. The next person is not your neighbor, your classmate, your colleague. The next person you should bring Jubilee to is your spouse or your roommate. You need to care for them. And how do you care for them? Oh, the sisters say, listen, I've been married 25 years. I know my husband forwards and backwards. There's nothing I don't know about him. This is sad. I mean, don't even talk to me about it. But I'm glad that we shared the portion we did. Even if you think you know, both husbands and wives, speaking to the married ones now specifically, you don't really know. And you have to realize you don't really know. You need to realize you need to go to the Lord. Amen. We need you to speak to the Lord about your relationship with your husband or wife. Amen. Go to the Lord. Amen. And then you will may see something. That's bringing Jubilee to them. Amen. Right? So I appreciated Paul's story. I'm going to tell you a couple other stories borrowed from Brother Gary from a few years back. To illustrate this, because I think this is hard to realize. Okay, so one of them, one for the husbands. A husband said something, got his wife upset. Oh, man, he realized he goofed. So anyway, he has to go. He gets to his wife, doesn't feel great, has to say sorry and, shouldn't have said that and so on, goes away. Okay, what's wrong with the picture? He never got into the light. He never got into the light. He knew the right thing to do. He did do the right thing, and he never got into the light. Switch to the other side, again from Brother Gary. There was a sister who was very good at baking pies, and she did a really pretty good job, honestly. And so when she offended her husband, and so she would make a little effort and bake a nice pie for him. So what's wrong with the picture? Well, it turned out the husband didn't care for the pies that much. But that was the sister's response to the husband. What's wrong? No Christ, just natural goodness. So when we do talk to the Lord, like Brother Paul said, you need to ask the Lord himself. Amen. Don't assume you know. Amen. Come to the Lord. Ask him. I'll give you a couple examples from my own life, just as one thing from the husband's side. You know, it turned out that, I mean, I'm busy, my wife's busy, she's working. But then I found out that usually I get up a little earlier than she does, so I found out I could make a couple little drinks for her in the morning. And the Lord touched me. Just take a little time. It doesn't take long. So I make a kind of a lemon ginger tea kind of thing, and I make a probiotic drink. It doesn't take long, but that's always there for her. Something I wouldn't have thought of otherwise. But I went to the Lord, and the Lord showed me. Another thing, one afternoon I was busy, and I had emails to get out. And by the way, this kind of email was not just your average email. This goes to 35 churches. In principle, it affects 2,500 or 3,000 saints. So I had that as a responsibility to get out that afternoon, and I was getting ready to get into it. And the Lord touched me, "You have a little time. Go clip some flowers from the garden." I said, "Lord, you know, I really don't have time. I have to get to all the churches. I mean, this affects 3,000 people. I mean, this is, you know, not a small thing. This is my responsibility." The Lord said, "Just go to the garden." So, of course, the Lord is the Lord. So I went out, clipped some flowers, put them in a vase. I don't think the arrangement was quite perfect. But anyway, so when my wife came home that night, there was a flower vase with the flowers fresh from the garden. That's an example. Don't pin that on your husband. Let the husband find out from the Lord. So it's simple things like that, not necessarily monumental things. We can all do this. The same thing with the children. We can find out things that our children like. And since the junior high and high schoolers are here, let me just mention one thing quickly to you. Don't think that you can't do things like this. Junior hires, how about maybe you do a little something around the house without being asked? So little Johnny, after dinner, takes the dirty dishes and takes them into the kitchen. And mom and dad look at each other, "What?" He just did it without being asked. The high school son, he takes out the trash without his dad asking him three times. Wow. The high school sister with the junior high sister said, mom asked them to do something. Well, man, it's in addition to our regular chores. We got other things to do. High school sister has a test the next day. But, okay, come on, let's go together. I'll teach you a little song about Jubilee. We'll sing it together. We'll do the extra chore, and it'll all be done. And it gets done. Mom comes home that evening. Oh, man, I've still got that extra thing I got to do. I'm sure the kids didn't touch it. What? They're done. It's absolutely done. So junior hires, high schoolers, you can contribute to your family's Jubilee. Don't think you can't. It applies to all of us. Okay, now to wrap up a little bit here, we just want to make it clear. If we do have a Jubilee household where we are living by the Spirit, enjoying the Lord, the brothers have emphasized very clearly we need to be an eating and drinking people. Amen. So I have a little way to end this, hopefully not too dramatic. But anyway, we have a way to enjoy the Lord. We should be feasting on the Lord, calling on his name. And I have a similar story to Brother Paul. I was there at home. I was, you know, sweetly calling on the Lord. And then the Lord touched me. First of all, I was in my own house. Secondly, even my wife wasn't there. Why am I so quiet? I'm in my own house. Nobody to bother. Nobody at all. I'm just, oh, Lord. What's the matter with me? I need a call. Amen. Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. So, I mean, where was I? So we all can overcome. And the more you take the steps this way, When you have a Jubilee family and household, it's not hard to propagate to other people. When you invite them over, they'll taste something different. When you go out even to your workplace or your school, you bring that atmosphere, that spirit, that transparency, and it just shines through. That is how we need to live. So we need this for our propagation of the Jubilee. Now, I've got a little extra thing to do here at the end. I hope it's not too dramatic. Anyway, it won't take long, I guarantee you. I want everybody to get up. If you have trouble getting up, it's okay. You can stay in your seat. I'm going to teach you one other way to release your spirit, which we haven't done in years, but which I like, and I've gotten touched a little bit of ecstasy in. We used to have the words, O Lord, Amen, Hallelujah. Okay, and then later, a few years later, we added at the end the name Jesus. So it went, O Lord, Amen, Hallelujah, Jesus. Okay, so one other thing. I've got to tell you, it's a myth that repetition is deadening. When you exercise your spirit, repetition is enlivening.
Amen.
So we're going to do it a few times in that order and just releasing our spirit in an enjoyable way.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Lord, amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Again. 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 Oh, Lord, amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Keep enjoying the Jubilee. Amen.